God is good, isn't he? Put your hands up to the Lord. You know, sometimes it just takes a little effort to reach up from where you are into the things of God. Sometimes we're closer than we think. And it just seems like, I just sense this by the Spirit of the Lord, that some have in this place have been working hard. You've been diligent. But it's been a while. And the small question in the back of your mind, which you don't really let your mind go to very much, but is, how long will it take? And I hear the Spirit of the Lord whisper, you're closer than you know. So keep on. Keep on. Keep on worshiping. Keep on believing. Keep on lifting up that mighty name. Keep on speaking the word, for it is even close. It is very close. You're about to step into those things, so it's too soon to quit. It's now time to lift your eyes and begin to thank the mighty one who has brought you these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we do press in. Just a little more. Just a little more. Just a little more. Hallelujah. Let those words strengthen your faith. Let those words shore you up. Let those words establish you. Let those words help you to stand firm in the things that you've been believing for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is performing that which He has promised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I look across this wonderful audience on this holiday weekend, I'm just real curious who in this place would lift their hands and say, that was for me. That was for me. I needed that today. Hallelujah. You know, from time to time. Now, you know what's the funny thing? Is that we could ask this a week later and it'd be different people. We've all been there. And some of us are there now. And some of us will be there again. But it's okay, because God is drawing us along. I like to say it this way, that God accepts you right where you are, who you are. But He cares enough about you not to leave you the same. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him God is a good God. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're delighted to be here bringing the Word of God to you tonight. And it is a holiday weekend. And of course, it's always interesting, you know, we look across this crowd and I'm amazed at how many people came to church on a Sunday night on a holiday weekend. Isn't that, I'll tell you what, I'm really proud of you all. I'm really proud of you that you have a heart for the things of God. God, I don't know whether anybody else notices, but God does. God notices when you put Him first, and so we want to commend you for that. And we got back late last night. We were at a family reunion on my dad's side, on my mom's side, and had a great time. We had, interesting, you know, my background is Old Order Amish, and so there. And so they were mostly glad to see me, and that's good. More are glad to see me now than they were 20 years ago. Some of them have changed their mind, and we want to thank God that the hosts worked it around where. The hosts happened to be two of my brothers that like me. And so they worked it around that I had the opportunity to give devotions and prayer in front of all of them. And so I made sure they heard the gospel. Amen. And it's interesting, you know, you find a faith like we have. And some religious people do not appreciate that. And so when my wife and I found the faith that we have, we were excommunicated. But it's interesting because God keeps opening doors. And we speak to the very people that we've been excommunicated from. And I just want to tell you something, that man may have set up some boundaries. Listen to this. Man may have set up some boundaries, but God laughs at that because he's bigger than the boundaries. And he can open a door that no man can shut. Isn't that great? I'm telling you. I just smile every time that we have this opportunity. Aside from that, we had a wonderful time, though, really, getting to know some people. You know what? Family reunions, you know, the biggest issue is, you know, who are you? Who is this person? I don't remember anybody looking like that. Or, you know, I know your name, but what family do you belong in? Where do you fit in the whole lineage, you know, ancestors kind of thing? And where do you live and that kind of thing? And so there's this big question of who are you and what are you, and trying to discover who people are. And I want to tell you, sometimes it's very interesting, you know, and you find some interesting details. Some are best left unsaid. Somebody said that there's always some nuts in the family tree. It may be true. I don't know. I've got some in mine. Some of them think it's me. But, you know, if that makes them happy, then so be it. You know, I'm okay. I'm okay. All right. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 15. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And again, it's a privilege to be here tonight to bring the Word of God to you. It's an honor to be on staff with Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and to be able to help serve in this great church. And we want to thank you. You make our jobs easy. And we are delighted to be here. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" In verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Amen. And wonderful scripture. But there is the thing, that notice what Jesus said to Peter when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, Peter, you did not figure this out on your own. You don't have enough intellectual prowess to do that. No human ability would help you to understand that the babe that was born in Bethlehem is actually the Son of the living God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That is not something that the natural mind is able to figure out. But he said, "My Father has revealed it to you." Say, "Reveal." And so Peter gets this revelation from God. How many of you have ever said, I'd like a revelation? I'd like a revelation from God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what kind of revelation you're looking for, but I will tell you this. If you ask him for a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Father will give you one. He will take you into the Word and begin to open up your eyes of your mind, and he will begin to show you truths that you never dreamed of knowing. And you can't take credit for it because you know in the back of your mind you're not that smart. And I have to tell you tonight that I can't take credit for the things, for some of these things that I'm telling you tonight, because I'm just not that smart. God had to help me. He had to reveal some things to me. So this revelation, we're talking about this apocalypse in the Greek, where there's this disclosure, where there's this appearing. I mean, all of a sudden it's there. It didn't come by natural means. It didn't come by somebody making something, building something, cooking something in front of you. It came from heaven. It's right there. It's real. And the moment it comes, it's more real than the things around you. And I can remember the first encounter I had with God, that it made me forget my surroundings. It made me, I didn't understand much about God because I didn't have much teaching, but I'm going to tell you something. I understood that God is real because his presence that I was experiencing as I had called out to him was greater than my surroundings, to such an extent that it didn't matter what my surroundings were. Didn't matter anymore. Actually, it didn't matter. It didn't even matter what the next couple of days had for me. And so you have to understand that the revelation of Jesus Christ is something that's powerful. It's mind-boggling. It goes far beyond what our human mind can grasp. We do our best to try to use our brain, and we should use our brain. Isn't that right? But I want to tell you something. In the end, God shows us himself. Here's what William Barclay said. He said, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a human discovery. It is a revelation from God. He goes on and says, the fact that God is as Jesus showed him to be is not something which a man could have discovered by intellectual prowess processes. Man does not discover God. God reveals himself. And I want to tell you something. Thank God. And that makes us different from every other religion in the world, because our God reveals himself to his people. And the other religions, the people are trying to find their God, connect with their God. God comes and knocks on the door of our heart. Our God. This is revelation process. Smith Wigglesworth said it this way. He said, I see that the excellency of Christ can never be understood except by illumination. And then he goes on and says, so I can see that there is a revelation that brings me in touch with him, where we get all and see right into the fullness of our head, even Christ. I don't know about you, but I like when things come into focus. You know, I don't like things nebulous, hazy, indistinct. I like something coming extremely clear so that I can see it for what it is. I like it so clear I don't have to squint my eyes and make an ugly face while I'm trying to see it. Isn't that right? And so the Let me just tell you this, that the revelation of Jesus Christ will make you blessed, because Jesus told Peter, he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. That revelation brings blessing. The revelation from God concerning Jesus Christ, his word, will bless you. It will open up blessings to you. It will open up a world of living that you couldn't have experienced any other way. Look at your neighbor. I think I need this. Tell him, I think I need this. You might want to look at another neighbor and say, you better get this. Now, this revelation of Jesus Christ, let me just tell you this, is so powerful that Jesus went on to say, indicate that the revelation of Jesus Christ is upon what, that is what Jesus is building his church upon. The whole church, universal, globally, worldwide, rests upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amazing. That's a powerful revelation that can hold all that up. Stomp your foot. That revelation is holding you up. It's holding you in the faith. It enables you to have faith. And you need that. You need that. Here's something else. When the church has the revelation of Jesus Christ within them, it becomes invincible against the powers of hell. That's amazing. You don't have to be afraid of hell and the devil and the evil when the revelation of Jesus Christ beats strong within you. And here's another thought. The revelation of Jesus Christ causes the church to operate in divine authority. And so the verse, Matthew 16, 19, is not wishful thinking. Whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me tell you, that's not wishful thinking. That is the position of a believer who is standing firm on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because he has a revelation of who he is in him. He has a revelation of who he's connected with, the greater one. There is nobody greater than him. In order for, let me just tell it to you this way. This sounds egotistical unless you understand or have the revelation. And that is this, in order for you to be defeated, Christ would have to be defeated. That sounds egotistical unless you have the revelation of him. So we have to realize that God wants to reveal truth to us. He wants to reveal Jesus to us. But see, it's nothing really new, because even in the Old Testament, God would reveal the things about himself, the secrets that he had with his servants. He did not hide himself. The only reason that there was not a clear, totally clear picture of Jesus Christ is because of the condition of mankind. But even there, he revealed his secrets to his servants. Daniel is an example. Joseph is another example. Daniel went in and the king, the Pharaoh, had a dream, and he didn't have the interpretation. Joseph brought the interpretation to him. Daniel had a similar experience, except it was a little bit more life threatening. The king had a dream, and he called in all the wise men and the sorcerers and every person that he had. That he had there to get advice from. And he said, tell me the dream and the interpretation. Not just the interpretation, but tell me of the dream too. They said, oh, king, he said, if you'll just tell us the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. The king's pretty smart. He said, well, if I tell you the dream, you're going to make up something. That's basically the message. And so he started killing them. And you know, of course, Daniel's one of those people. And Daniel said, hey, King, give me just a little time. And he said, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And of course, Daniel did reveal. And I want to tell you, that's under the old covenant. That's under the old covenant. There's another verse that I like in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. He says it this way, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, the prophets, you understand, in that day were the ones that had the Spirit of God upon them. The people did not. And so the people would look to the prophet, the seer, the one who knows, the one who can see, to find out what it is that God's saying. Today, you know, the prophet is in a little different position in the body, in that every person has the same Holy Spirit living on the inside, and you have the privilege to see just like the prophet would, in the sense of looking into the Word of God. There may be some things that that's connected to the prophet's ministry that's not common to all believers. But on the other hand, there is the revelation of God's Word. There is the secrets that God wants to share with His people, and He would like to share them with those who have His Spirit. And you know, we all have His Spirit. The Holy Spirit living on the inside. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. In other words, the Holy Spirit came in and you became his dwelling place. You became the temple of the Spirit of God the moment you got born again. And he'd like to share some things with you. He'd like to reveal some things with you. In the New Testament, God is sharing his, revealing things to his children, to all his children, those who would listen. I know that when I was a child growing up, there were times when I listened better than I did at other times, and I heard my father's voice better at times than I did at other times. And so we have to realize then that it is a growing process to follow God, to listen to Him, because this is the truth. He is willing to share with you if we are willing to listen to Him. And so revelation from God is absolutely necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It is an interesting verse. I saw this on a plaque and on somebody's wall when I grew up, and it was there. Verse 9 was there by itself. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. And that was all it said. It's like, oh, I can't know. I can't see it. I can't hear it. I can't understand it. Let's go outside and play ball. That's just the effect that it had on me, because it is a verse taken out of its context. Because you see, the very next verse, listen to me, look at it, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, you're the one who knows what's in you. And he says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Or you could say it this way, he's the one who knows. And I have to add this based on what the whole verses say. He's the one who knows, and he's the one that's willing to reveal. In other words, you know what's inside of you, and the only way that others are going to find out what's in you is if you're willing to share. So you have to understand that you have the Holy Spirit on the inside who's willing to reveal the truth of God, reveal Jesus Christ, reveal the redemptive benefits of what Jesus did in his redemptive work at Calvary, to reveal to you the plans that God has designed for you before the foundations of the world. I was recently going someplace and ended up driving way out of the way because I had thought it was one place, and I got there, nobody's there, and so I'm looking again at my directions and I find out I'm at the wrong place. I got to get going because they're expecting me at a different place. And on the way down there, I'm asking God, now, God, why didn't you tell me I'm going to the wrong place? Not arrogantly, you understand. Ultimately, it's my fault. I said, why didn't I? And he said, because that's what you had your mind set on. But once I could get you past what your mind set on, I could tell you where it's at. And he showed me a really quick way to get there. He did help me once I let him. But so many times we've got our mind locked in on things. And sometimes the work of God is to get us past our own thinking into the revelation, into the things of the things that he'd really like us to know. We have in our mind, we have this thinking of what's possible. You read the stats on unemployment and unemployment. You look at the economic reports that come out, and I'm telling you, thoughts come into our minds as to what is possible and what is not possible based on the information. And I'm telling you, you've got to remind yourself there is a greater truth than the economic report. There's a greater truth than the unemployment report. There's a greater truth than the 5 o'clock news. There's a greater truth than the 24-hour news. There's a greater truth than any earthly facts. And that is the revelation of the Word of God that comes forth, that tells us how it can be. And there's a God who sees in front of us, and he knows what's out there, and he can tell us truths that will get us ready for those things. And he knows the way if we are willing to listen to him. It would be interesting if the church started listening as much to the good news as they do the online news. Come on now. What an inspiring thought. What if I gave the same amount of time to the Holy Spirit speaking to me about the Word as I do about everybody else trying to tell me how it is? Well, I can, you know, there are people in history who decided upon that. Smith Wigglesworth is an example of it. D.L. Moody is another one. He said something like this: it remains to be seen what a man fully committed, 100% committed to God, could accomplish. And that means you got to have your mind, you got to have your heart open, you got to have a listening ear. Even in the midst of what you're doing, you may be working and doing your job, but that doesn't keep you from having a listening ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Isn't that right? Why would he show us things? Why would he take the effort to bring us to a point of revelation where we know something out of the Word that we never knew before? Because you see, he knows that is necessary in order for us to have mountain-moving faith. One person said it this way, that actually faith begins at the point of revelation knowledge. Not what you figure out, but what is revealed to you in the Word. I've seen people, two Christians, they sound similar as far as what they're saying, and one has words that are powerful that produce, and one has the other one. There's nothing wrong with the words they say, but it just simply doesn't have any oomph. Anybody ever met somebody like that? Everybody have been there. What's the difference? Revelation. One's revelation, the other's information. Information is good as far as it goes, but revelation is what the church is to be built on. And so we have to have revelation from God in order to have mountain-moving faith, in order to receive what God has for us, to even know what God has for us. People used to, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you accept Christ as your Savior. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I thought I knew what that meant. I thought I knew what that would be like. But it took a revelation from God to see my life as it really is without Christ in order for me to be willing to listen to the revelation, I need a Savior. Can I say this? Sometimes in the middle of our Christian walk, we need a revelation of how desperately we need help from Him. Because what we're doing by ourselves is really not getting the job done. But the church is full of people beating their head against the wall, going to bed and not sleeping well at night, having burdens on their shoulders and worrying about things because they are hanging on to what they can do, and they're not understanding that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal truth to them that will lift them up on top of the trouble until the trouble's under their feet instead of all around them. You see, let's go a little further. And so the revelation, the Holy Spirit spoke it to me this way. In order to have the riches of God, you must first have revelation knowledge of His Word. People say, yes, 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 I'm believing for money. I'm believing for money to pay my bills. I'm believing for money. God says, Bible says God meet all my needs and God wants me to be blessed. But how many of you are focused upon the revelation of God's Word and then let that revelation flow in your life and then the riches will be encountered? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2 tells you, I'm not turning there, you can look it up, but he talks about how if you diligently follow the word, then all these blessings shall overtake you. In other words, you need the revelation of the word of God. You need the revelation of truth. I have to look back probably almost every time that I've messed up in my Christian walk, it was a lack of revelation. It was a lack of revelation knowledge that I needed that would have kept me standing strong. It would have kept me firm in my faith. But because I didn't listen, because I didn't look into the Word, I got my eyes off of that onto something else. It ends up leading you into something that's not good. Can I get an amen? I thought I saw a holy look come across the congregation just now, but I could be wrong. But anyway. But it's the truth, isn't it? Everybody knows what we're talking about right now. He said, preacher, would you just get on with the next point, please? All right. You see, let me just share this and wrap this up. I know the list. Here's the thing about revelation knowledge. Here's the benefit. Let me just show it to you. I know the list on my dad's side of all the ancestors clear back into Europe. I know that in the 1700s, Christian Yoder Sr. and Christian Yoder Jr. came over on the boat. And then Christian Yoder Jr. had a son named Jacob C. Yoder. And then Jacob C. Yoder had a son named Christian J. Yoder. And then Christian J. had a Tobias C. Yoder. And then a Tobias C. Yoder had a John T. Yoder. And he had a son named Joseph J. Yoder. And Joseph J. Yoder had a son named Ezra J. Yoder, and he had a son named Benedict E. Yoder, and Benedict E. Yoder had a son named Marvin B. Yoder. Goes all the way back to Switzerland, somewhere near Bern area. And I have to tell you, it's interesting. And in the natural, that's who I am. I guess you could say it this way. I got a little bit of Christian Yoder Sr. in me. You know what I'm saying? But I have to tell you that my spiritual list of my spiritual ancestors is much shorter. I'm a child of God. I'm just one generation from the source. I said, I'm just one generation from the source. And I found this out, that if I wanted to go back to Bern, Switzerland, and somehow get me a lawyer and say, you know, Christian Yoder Sr., if we could find the property, such, well, you know, I'm an ancestor. I'd like to claim my inheritance. I think that I might be escorted back out of Switzerland or locked up, one of the two. But I want to tell you something. It's a lot less difficult. Matter of fact, it's very easy for me to go into my, claim my spiritual inheritance. I can go directly to my Heavenly Father. I can go directly to the one who made me a child of God and an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a co-heir with Him. That means I have equal shares with every other member in the body of Christ. It means I have equal shares with Jesus Christ Himself. But you got to get the revelation of it. We walk around. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't have enough money. I don't have enough to pay my bills. What am I going to do? I'm talking about tapping into, having the revelation of tapping into your spiritual inheritance of which there is some money. Not only is spiritual blessing, but there is natural blessings as well. I don't know about you, there isn't a need you have in any area of your life that there isn't a revelation of the Word of God that can come forth and help you to receive what you need. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is the revelator. He illuminates our mind. He opens up our mind. If we give Him time. I want to end with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. It is Paul's prayer. And the reason I want to is because it is a prayer of revelation. And he said this out of the King James. He said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, verse 16, now 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and I like to do it in first person, okay, so I'm going to do it in first person, says, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. 18, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling for me. Verse 18, that I may know what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in me. I'm one of the saints. Aren't you one of the saints? You got to see yourself there. And then verse 19, that I may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward me, who believes. How many believers we got? Did you know that if you're a believer, the power of God is towards you and not against you? It is towards you and not away from you. It is towards you, waiting for you to give it some direction. And I have to tell you, listen to me. I want us to, then he says, it is according to the working of his mighty power. And I want to read this out of the translator's New Testament. He says, I pray that your minds be so enlightened that you may know what the hope is to which he calls you, the glorious wealth which he invites you to share with all his people, and the limitless scope of his power at work in us once we believe in him. I think I got to read that again because I see somebody like, oh, what did he say? Let's read it again because it is revelation. You know why? You know, when you read something like that, your mind is going, you know, your eyeballs, they do the swirls, you know, they're just going, you know what I'm saying? And they do funny things. It's because our mind's trying to grasp something that's beyond its ability to grasp. And if you got to open up your heart and say, Lord, let it be revealed to me. He says it this way, I pray that your minds may be so enlightened that you may know what the hope is to which he calls you, the glorious wealth which he invites you to share with all his people, and the limitless scope of his power at work in us once we believe in him. Amen. Isn't that something? You know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to read that again. Because we're just starting. How many of you, the second time you said, I think I'm starting. Your engine started. You understand what I mean? let's read it again. I pray that your minds may be so enlightened that you may know what is the hope, what the hope is to which he calls you, the glorious wealth which he invites you to share with all his people, and the limitless scope of his power at work in us once we believe in him. How many of you'd lift a hand and say, I'm right there. That's me. He's talking about me. He's talking about me right there. Amen. I don't know about you, but I sense, you know, God is working. You know, when we start praying and saying some things like that, I just want you to realize something. Once you get that revelation from God like that, you begin to start saying it out of your mouth. That's where the strength and the power is released of that revelation. Jesus stood up in the synagogue one day and he said, I found myself in the Word of God. And he quoted Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. And you can read it, that he spoke it there. Then he declared it there in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 and 19. He not only found himself, but he declared it. Okay? Nothing much happened. Now listen to this. Nothing much happened until he declared it. That's when he stepped in to what it was that God had assigned him to do here on earth. I'm going to tell you something. Confession comes before performance. It just is one of those things. Your words will often dictate your actions. And if you're silent about your inheritance and by silent about the truth of God's word in your life, you're going to have difficulty directing your steps. Because you see, the Bible says the tongue is the rudder that directs your life and directs your steps and causes you to go the path that God has designed for you. So lift your voice and begin to say that which is revealed to you in his word, and then you shall see that your steps will straighten out and your steps will become strong and your feet will walk right past, and you will be able to walk into a destiny that has thrilling, that thrills your heart and causes you to rejoice. For surely you know that it is only God himself who lives in heaven that have put you in that place. Let's stand up and let's thank God. Do you understand that the Word of God is a revelation and not just a book of information? We need the Holy Spirit our prayer. Pray that Ephesians prayer. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Or in other words, you could say it this way. Give me the wisdom and revelation of the Word. Why? Because you need that. You need that to go to the next level. Can I say this kindly? That the level, now listen to this, the level of that we're living on represents the level of revelation that we have in our life that we have received and are saying. That encourages me because if I find where it's not okay in my life, I can begin to look into the Word, and the Holy Spirit begins to enlighten me and reveal to me, and I begin to say what He has shown me and declare what He has shown me, and I can find that area is going to be taken care of. Because my faith is released when I declare the truth of God's Word. And I want to tell you, you can flow in dimensions of life and ministry that you never dreamed of. Let's lift our hands one more and thank Him before we go. Father, we thank You now and magnify Your name. You are worthy to be praised. Thank You for the revelation of Your Word. We are grateful for it. We've come this far because of the revelation of Your Word that's been revealed to us by Your Spirit. We thank You for it. We're grateful for that. But Lord, our heart's cry is, show me more. Say it with me. Show me more. Show me more. Show me more. Oh, yes. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You received the good word of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got these wonderful prayer workers that are coming down, and they are going to be here to pray with you, to believe with you, and to believe that you can receive what it is that God has said in His Word. Amen. So if you've got a need, you just come right down here as soon as we dismiss, and you're free to come down there, and they'll be able to do that with you, connect with you. Those of you that are a connection team, go find those first-time guests, those wonderful people that have graced us with their presence tonight, and take them to that special place where we give them that wonderful gift that's been prepared for them. If you will do that right now, let's give them a great big hand as they go to receive that wonderful gift. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're excited. We're excited. Everybody's had a holiday tomorrow, isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Everybody got good plans for that? I got good plans. It's like mostly nothing. You know, but that's okay, you know. How many of you, once in a while, you need a nothing day? Now, I get spiritual and say, I just need a day to bask in the presence of God. It's okay. I'm sure I'm going to be sensitive, but I want to tell you, I can't really say that I'm going to be just 100% spiritual tomorrow. I do have a mind and I do have a body. Hallelujah. Now, praise the Lord. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, have a great holiday. And we will see you Wednesday night. Be here as best if you can at all. And Pastor Hagen will be here. I believe Pastor Hagen's going to be here. Is that right? And he will have a great word for you. God bless you. Thank you for coming.